65 North Grove Street, and we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. We are blessed to be a blessing, and today we want to experience the blessing of God's Word with you. So we are going to return to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, yesterday we were talking about the healing of the lame man. He had been born lame, and because of Peter and John's faith and their desire and willingness to be used by God to speak into this man's life, he was healed. We're a Pentecostal church, and so we believe that Jesus saves. We believe that Jesus heals. We believe that Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit, and we believe that Jesus is coming again. Those are our four cardinal doctrines that we believe. And, you know, I make no apologies for that. In biblical times, they had no problem believing that Jesus healed. They had a problem believing that Jesus saved. In our modern times, we've got no problem believing that Jesus saves. Some people struggle believing that Jesus heals. We believe that he does both. Verse number 11 is where we're going to pick up reading today. And verse number 11 says, "Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, 'Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." So that's where we're going to stop the reading for right now. I want to go back to yesterday, where we were talking about in verse number 10, "Then they knew that it was he who sat begging at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were all filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." I want to encourage you as an individual. I want to encourage us as a church, and that is this: celebrate the good things that happen, not just in your life, but celebrate the good things that happen in the lives of others. I think that the church should really rediscover the importance of celebration. People get saved. Heaven rejoices. Why shouldn't we? In Acts chapter 3, people celebrate. People being healed. Why shouldn't we? I think that we are supposed to rejoice with those who rejoice. I think we're supposed to mourn with those who mourn. But I pray that you learn the secret of celebrating the victories that God gives you. I believe that it strikes a negative blow in the heart of the enemy whenever God's people celebrate the presence of God, celebrate the power of God, and celebrate God working in the hearts of people. I've heard people that once they heard a testimony of what God had done in a person's life, that they had faith to believe that God could do that in their life. So don't forget to celebrate the good things that happen in other people's lives. With that being said, let me also give you this piece of wisdom. Don't celebrate when bad things happen to your enemy. And by that, I mean people who are hostile towards you, people who have don't celebrate that. At one point in time, I was talking with a friend of mine, and he had asked me to pray because there were some people that were making his life quite challenging. And we had a conversation, and he said that that on their own, those people had decided it was time for them to make an adjustment in their life. And I said, oh, well, praise God. And he said, no, 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 no. He said, I bless them in the name of Jesus, because I don't want to respond improperly and fail the test and have to go through the class again. I want to bless them and honor them in the name of Jesus. And I was like, there's a lot of wisdom in that. We're not called to celebrate when bad things happen to people, you know, whether they are for us or against us, with us or against us, because Jesus died for them the same way that he died for us. So if something happens to them, we want to pray that they have a revelation of who God really is, not who someone told them God was, not who they think God might be, but who the Word of God says he is, so that God can change their heart and change their life. So, on to verse number 11. The lame man was now holding on to Peter and John, and all the people ran together to them, greatly amazed. This guy was thoroughly thankful. He was thoroughly blessed. He's like, I'm not letting you go. and he's going to eventually have to let him go, because these people are getting ready to share. Peter and John are getting ready to share that it's Jesus working in them, Jesus working through them. It's really not about they themselves. Okay, so Paul and Barnabas were actually out ministering, and they there was a guy that was healed, and so the people of that community, they didn't know any better, so they thought that Barnabas was Zeus and Saul was Mercury, I think it was, and that as a result, they were going to worship them as being these idolatrous Greek mythological gods. And they's like, no, 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 no. Don't do that. Worship belongs to Jesus. No matter how much of a blessing a person has been in your life, I guarantee you this, they have flaws. And so the only person that is deserving of worship and is flawless is Jesus. And so if there's anything good that happens in our life, you need to remember, apart from him, apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. But through him, all things are possible. So when Peter sees that the crowd is gathering around and they are amazed, he says, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? Okay, let's address the first question. Why do you marvel at this? There are some people who lived their life and they said, well, I don't have any expectations of life. I've lowered my expectations extremely low. That way I'm never disappointed. I heard somebody say that they were on a job and some people were complaining about the expectations, and the person responded and said, look, if I lower the expectations around here any lower, I'm going to have to get a shovel to bury them underground because they're already laying on the floor. I will tell you, revival has never come any place in the world, any time throughout history, when the expectations of morality have been compromised and lowered to where they no longer come into alignment with the Word of God. Revival doesn't come with lowered moral expectations. Revival comes when there is an unveiling of biblical values along with the reality of how far beneath the standard that God established we're actually living. And then realizing that Jesus is the only hope of bringing us from where we are back to where he wants us to be. So there are a lot of people who do not pray for people to be healed because they live life having been disappointed before, and so they don't have any expectations that anything good is ever going to happen. No one's going to get healed. Nobody's going to get saved. When something does happen, then all of a sudden they're like, whoa, we've never seen that before. I believe that we are living beneath the supernatural expectations that God wants his body of believers to be using as a standard for their lifestyle. I believe that we too many times operate from natural expectations instead of supernatural expectations. And so when something supernatural happens, it's something to be amazed at. I believe that for believers, we need to realize that eternal life started for us the day that we asked Jesus into our heart, and that for the rest of our life, we need to be living with the expectations that the God, the supernatural God who is going to rule and reign for all of eternity, is now living in our heart, and that which is supernatural, above natural, beyond natural for man, is now something that should be normal in the kingdom of God. Just a thought. Why do you marvel? He said, why are you looking so intently at us as if it was by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? Be very, very careful of people who are seeking the attention for themselves. Okay? I've got so many books that are going through my head. I wish that I had time to write all of these things, but there's a book that I would like to write, and it's just titled Mine. Capital M I N E. Not Minecraft, it's just mine, and by that I don't mean that it belongs to me. I'm using that title of things that belong to God. They belong to him forever and ever and always. Amen. They belong to God. He has declared that they are his. And so whether that is that you are my people, says the Lord, or whether it is the tithe, which he declared is mine, it's holy. Whenever something belongs to God, that's not to be shared with other people. And all the glory belongs to God. So anytime a person begins to try and be self-promoting rather than Jesus promoting, that's a big warning flag to me. Now, here's just a little personal observation that in several decades of ministry, there are a lot of people who blow in, blow up, blow out, and blow away. They come in, they make an impact, and then they end up, something bad happens to them, and then they're gone. And then you have a bunch of disappointed people behind them. Because look, Paul wrote, and he said there's some that are saying they're of Apollos, some of Paul, some of Peter, some of Jesus. And he said, the body of Christ is not divided. And so they said, don't be thinking that this is us. Verse number 13, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, and glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. All of a sudden, you know, everybody was gathered there in amazement at the miracle. They're getting ready to get confronted with the reality of how Jesus was treated, who's actually the one responsible for this miracle. Okay? But you denied the Holy One and the Just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, who God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. So, there are some people who believe that Jesus wasn't really dead. When they killed him on the cross, he wasn't really dead. He was faking. That doesn't line up with the facts at all. If that was the case, there would have been a very diligent manhunt. They would not, the religious leadership would not have been able to pay off the guards and keep them alive if it just the amount of abuse that was inflicted upon his body was horrible. I mean, they stuck a spear into his heart. Okay, that's not something you just get up and wipe the dust off of your sleeves and say, "Ah, I'm back." It was a miracle. Easter, the resurrection, was miraculous. Okay, so they said, you know, y'all killed him. I want you to understand that it says that God raised him from the dead. The word death means separation. So whenever our physical body dies, we are separated from oxygen. We are separated from the electrical energy that would cause our nerves to send messages to the muscles throughout our body. We're separated from the ability to communicate with those around us. We are separated. That's what that means. Okay. The spiritual death is to be separated from God. And so that's why you can be physically alive, but you can be spiritually dead. And Jesus was both. He was physically dead, and because he was carrying the burden of sin for mankind, he was also separated. The Father turned his head. He was separated from God. It doesn't mean, you know, somebody said, well, how are you going to kill God? Well, you know, the question could be is, how could be people be spiritually separated from an omnipresent God? It's because God has created this place called hell that is eventually going to be swallowed up by the lake of fire. It is a place where, you know, David said, look, even if I made my bed in hell, you're there. But there's a separation. Have you ever been in a room with somebody? You were both present in the same room, but you were separated. Maybe one person was giving the other person the silent treatment, or maybe you were in the room and the lights were off and you didn't realize the person was there, but there was no communication going on there. Jesus was only dead physically for a short period of time, and he was only separated from the Father for a short period of time. That spiritual death paid for our trespasses and sin. Peter goes on and he says, and his name, Jesus, through faith in his name, has made this man strong in or whom you see and know. Okay, so let's look at the in his name. Through faith in his name, has made this man strong. So I was preaching here a few weeks ago on the church being edified. I believe that God wants you built up. I believe that he wants you built up physically. I believe that he wants you built up intellectually. I believe that he wants you built up spiritually. He wants you built up in faith. He wants you built up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. There is faith that comes, and it makes our body strong. It makes our spirit strong. It makes our minds strong. It can make our finances strong. And I get a little tired of people who are constantly fear-mongering. It doesn't mean that there's not some valid points to what they're making, but I want to motivate people through the potential that God wants to operate in their life with, and that is through strength. Christians are not meant to be society's doormat. Christians are meant to be the lighthouse that reaches out into the community that keeps people from crashing on the rocks of life. We are meant to be functioning with a renewed mind, with the mind of Christ, in a world that has been given over to a reprobate mind, or a mind that is not functioning the way that it was supposed to. Be strong. Okay? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So, and that comes through the faith that we have in the name of Jesus. And Peter goes on and he says, yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect presence, or perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So, I tell people, just a personal opinion, I can't prove it from Scripture, I don't think Samson walked around like a Arnold Schwarzenegger muscle-bound bodybuilder type guy. I don't think it was his natural muscles. I believe it was the supernatural intervention of the Spirit of God. That's my personal view. You can take it, you can leave it. I just don't think it was natural, or if it was natural, then cutting his hair wouldn't have really impacted that very much. I'm just saying. But God's not only wanting us to be strong, but he also wants us to have perfect soundness, not just in private, but everywhere. If you have perfect soundness, you know what you're not afraid of? Anybody testing that soundness. My wife's word for this year, as she was praying, and you've got to understand that she was recovering from major surgery as she was praying this, but the word that God gave her for 2022 was wholeness. There are a lot of people who live their life with holes, damage that has been done. They live with the trauma, they live with the impact, they live with holes, either physically or spiritually or relationally or financially. There's all sorts of damage that people have in their personality. And if you do not deal with that past trauma will continue to control you for the rest of your life. Jesus came to fill the holes. He came to give perfect soundness. So this person was not only made strong, but he was also given a time advancement, if you will, to where in just an instant of time, however old he was described as a man. Many times that meant that they were over 40 years old. And so 4 decades of the inability to stand or to walk or to use his legs in any sort of capacity, all of a sudden there was not only strength, which would involve muscular, but there was also a restoration of bodily function, because God is the architect, the designer of our bodies, and he is the perfect person who is being able to repair that. And so the perfect soundness came to the ankle bones. It came to the femur. It came to all of the leg bones. It came to the nerves. It came to the muscles. It came to the blood vessels. All of the atrophy of decades was completely reversed, and he was given the ability to walk and function just like everybody else. The only difference was he had been touched supernaturally by God. So there was wholeness, H-O-L-E-N-E-S-S, that many people have. My wife's word is wholeness, W-H-O-L-E-N-E-S-S. And then God also wants to bring about holiness, and that is getting us to live the life in obedience to God's word, just like God said. A lot of people don't like to talk about holiness. There's some personal trauma that has been impacted upon people because of some old methods in teaching holiness. But I don't know about you, but if I go into a restaurant and it's dirty, I don't want to eat there. And I want to come into the presence of God, where he makes me clean and he keeps me clean and he helps me to live clean and righteous in his sight. Let's move from wholeness to wholeness to holiness and watch what God does. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Listen to a thousand tongues, but there is one that sounds above them all. The Father's song, the Father's love, you sung it over me and for eternity. It's written on my heart. Heaven's perfect melody, the Creator's symphony, you are singing over me, the Father's song. Heaven's perfect mystery, the King of love has sent for me, and now you're singing over me, the Father's song. I have heard so many songs, listened to a thousand tongues, but there is one that sounds above them all. Thank you, Lord. The Father's song, the Father's love, you sung it over me and for eternity. It's written on my heart. Heaven's perfect melody, the Creator's symphony. are singing over me the Father's song.